Word of encouragement that I want to share with you this morning, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings chapter 19 is going to be our focus this morning. 2 Kings 19. As you're turning to 2 Kings 19 verses 14, I want to remind you that in a couple of weeks we're going to have a special gathering called Pizza with the Pastor, and it's going to be at 2 p.m. right here at our Paramount campus. So if I have not met you, or if you're new here, this is an opportunity for me and my wife to meet you. It's going to be in November in the Upstairs Fellowship Hall. The date is on the flap or the bulletin. You can read it. I want to invite you to come out so that we can meet you. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 is going to be our focus. This morning, I have a word of encouragement for us. And before I read verse 14, I want to remind you of what's happening. King Hezekiah has got a threatening letter from his enemy. And King Sennacherib, who is king of Assyria, threatened to destroy the nation of Judah or the nation of Israel. And this really shook Hezekiah up. This really discouraged him. This really caused fear to knock on the door of his heart. And we pick up this stressful situation in verse 14. And I want us to learn from him this morning. Listen to what it says. It says, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, 'O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim,'" those are the flaming kind of angels that surround the throne of God, "'you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open up your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib," that's the enemy, "which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." And look at verse 20. "Then Isaiah," that's the prophet, "the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying," now listen to what the Lord says to him, "'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib," that's the enemy, king of Assyria, "I have heard.'" I want to read that again. "Because you have prayed to me." Did you notice that? "Because you have prayed." Not because you complained. Not because you murmured. Not because you got loud. Not because you threw a tantrum. But because you prayed. Because you called upon me. Because you cried out to me. Not because you posted on Facebook your problem. Oh, I know. Y'all didn't catch that, huh? Not because you won an argument. Not even because you're right. Not even because you're right. But because you prayed to me. How many believe there's power in prayer this morning? How many believe that God answers prayer this morning? Somehow, some way, Hezekiah learned how to get the ear of God. Somehow, some way, Hezekiah learned how to get God's attention in his matter. Hezekiah was discouraged. He was on the verge of giving up. He was on the verge of throwing in the towel. He was on the verge of bailing out. He was shaken to his core. Yet the Bible says that he prayed to God. And even more important, God says, "Because he prayed, I will answer you." Now let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you encourage us this morning, challenge us this morning, help us to turn back to you In Jesus' name, amen. So, my brothers and sisters, this whole month, we are studying from the subject battle prayer. Someone say battle prayer. And we're learning how to call upon God in the midst of our situation. How many have learned so far that life is made up of battles? Life is made up of battles. Everywhere you turn around, you're going to face a battle. And our prayer is that you learn how to win more battles than you lose. Anybody want to win more battles in life? Anybody want to win more battles? It's very important that you learn how to win some battles, because the next season of your life is determined by if you win this battle you're in right now or not. And we believe that the center, or at the heart of your victory in your battle, is learning how to pray. We believe that at the heart of your victory is learning how to engage in a battle prayer, a spirit-filled prayer, a prayer that moves the heart of God. Can someone say amen to that? We believe that when you learn to pray, you'll learn to get the attention of God to intervene for your situation because you prayed. Not because you complained, not because you murmured, not because you cried, not because you threw a tantrum, but because you prayed. Now, I want to remind you, and I'm reminding all the campuses today, that Chapel of Change is not a luxury yacht. We're not a luxury yacht. We don't gather together for the primary purpose to have fun. That's not the primary reason why we gather together. Don't get me wrong. Serving the Lord is fun. It is a journey to serve the Lord. But that's not the primary reason why we join together. We don't primarily come together so that we can get, right? That's not the spirit of why we come together. We actually come together so that we can contribute to the mission of God. It's not about consuming for us, but it's about contributing to what God is doing. And so I want to remind the church today, and I'm doing this at all the campuses today, that Chapel of Change is more of a battleship. We are a battleship, and we live deployed. We live on active status, right? We live that at any moment the king can call us into service at any second, because we live on active duty status. When you think of a battleship, you think of someone who's always sending people out into mission or receiving people back from their mission. And if you're going to be a part of Chapel of Change, you need to understand that we are not a luxury yacht. We don't have all the bells and whistles. We don't have all the smokes and lights, because we are a battleship. And we believe that the people of God should be actively engaged in the mission of the kingdom of God. And at the heart of our victory is prayer. At the heart of our victory is spirit-filled battle prayer. Away with the nice type of prayers. Away with the pretty little prayers that don't move anything. And so I want to remind you of the definition of prayer that we're using for our study this month. And prayer is co-laboring with God to help manifest His will on earth. Prayer is co-laboring. That means prayer involves work. Prayer involves sweat. Away with the pretty little prayers. Prayer is co-laboring with God to help manifest His will on earth. And I want to suggest to you that God wants to do more in your life today. God wants to do more in your marriage today. God wants to do more in your family today. But He has chosen to work to the extent that you pray. Did you catch that this morning? Somebody needs to get this, because you're wondering why God is not working in your life as you expect Him to work. Maybe the reason is you're not praying as He expects you to pray. God wants to do more in your life. He wants to do more in your business. He wants to do more in your marriage. He wants to do more in your family. But he has chosen to work to the extent that you pray. So we're upping our prayer life in the month of October. We have launched prayer stations all throughout the week. We got prayer stations in Downey. We got prayer stations in Paramount. We got prayer stations in Orange County. We got prayer stations, in Long Beach. We got prayer stations in San Pedro. We're trying to make it easy for you to slip into some battle prayer for your life because we're tired of seeing the body of Christ lose. We ought to be walking in victory. We ought to be walking in deliverance. We ought to be walking in the promises of God, and it will only happen to the extent that we pray. Now, Hezekiah, he teaches us how to turn to God in the midst of our troubling situation. He teaches us how to turn to God in the midst of our problem. He teaches us how to turn to God in the midst of our stress. And I want us to learn from him today because he kind of sets the example for us. And I got several reflections for us. The first one is this. Someone say number one. Hezekiah prays from a place of brokenness. He prays from a place of brokenness. And I get this out of verse 1. Look at verse 1 because it's very powerful. It says, "And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord." Now notice this. He tears his clothes and he puts on sackcloth. Now, to us in our culture, that really don't mean nothing. So you got to study the Hebrew custom to understand what he's trying to convey. Sackcloth and tearing your clothes in the Hebrew custom was a symbol of mourning. It was a symbol of repentance. It was a symbol of humility. When he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth, it was an outward display of his inward brokenness. It was an outward display of his inward brokenness. He was trying to tell the world that he was broken inside, that his situation was crushing him, that it was breaking him. So he put on sackcloth and he tore his clothes. Are you following along? When Jacob thought his son was killed in Genesis 37, it says that Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Jacob was broken inside, so he put on sackcloth. Daniel expressed his brokenness in Daniel chapter 9. Listen to what it says. It says, "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel was expressing that he was broken on the inside when he put sackcloth on his clothes or on his body. Hezekiah, in this verse, was broken over his trouble. He enters the house of the Lord broken. He prays from a place of brokenness. Brokenness. Someone say brokenness. Now we need to understand, what does it mean to be broken? What does it mean to be broken in the kingdom of God? When I talk about brokenness, I'm not talking about an emotional experience. I'm not talking about emotional experience. Brokenness in the kingdom of God is God stripping you of your self-reliance. Write that down. It's stripping you of your self-reliance. Brokenness is God stripping you of your pride. If there's anything that God hates, that the Bible teaches us about, is that God hates pride. And when you're going through a situation that is causing you to experience brokenness, it is God trying to strip you of your pride. So follow along with me. Brokenness is God stripping you of your self-reliance and your pride. Listen, when God looks to you, he doesn't look for strength. God is not looking for strength. God is looking for surrender. God is not looking for you for the ability to stand. God is looking for the ability for you to submit. God is not looking for you the ability to endure. God is looking for the ability to get down on your knees and to surrender to him. Are you following along? Brokenness is surrendering your will to God's will. Brokenness is saying yes to what God wants over what you want. How many know that hurts sometimes? How many know that hurts to get to a place where you surrender your will to God's will? It's not an easy place to get to because, believe it or not, a lot of us are stubborn. Hello, somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Should I have said few of us are stubborn? That would have been a lie. A lot of us are stubborn. A lot of us don't easily side up with God. And so God has to take us through a process where he strips us of our self-reliance, where he strips us of our pride, where he strips us of the ability of wanting it our way or the highway. And so in order to come to a place where you surrender your will to the Lord, you surrender your life to the Lord, in order to come to a place where you say, not my will, God, but your will be done, you have to go through the breaking process. Apostle Paul, when he came to this place, it was a place that actually crushed him. It was a place that crushed him. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is Paul's experience with being broken. Listen to what he says. He says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. That's a bad day right there. Has anybody ever had a day where you felt like giving up? Anybody ever had a day where you felt like you were crushed and you were overwhelmed? Maybe you were overwhelmed with your business. Maybe you were overwhelmed with your husband. Maybe you were overwhelmed with your kid rebelling. Has anybody ever come to a place where your situation was trying to overwhelm you? Paul says we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Now, I want you to notice something, that in every hard situation you go to, there's always man's view of that situation, and then there's God's view of that situation. Because if you are a citizen in the kingdom of God, nothing happens to you by chance. Nothing happens to you by chance. But here's the key. You could side up with man's view, or you could side up with God's view, and sometimes it's hard to side up with God's view. Paul, he identifies man's view when he says, we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. You see, that was man's thought of the situation. That was man's perspective of the situation. But whenever you trust God, whenever you obey God, whenever you keep moving with God, ultimately he will reveal his purpose for that same situation if you just hold on. Are you following along? Because Paul didn't give up, even though he felt like giving up. Even though he felt like throwing in the towel, he didn't give up. He kept trusting in the Lord, and he kept going to church. He kept reading his Bible. He kept going to work. He kept praying. He kept serving the Lord. And ultimately, God revealed to him the Lord's purpose for that hard situation, which was this. Listen to this. But that denotes contrast. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. Touch your neighbor and say, God is teaching you something. God is teaching you something, right? Listen. This is what Paul learned. He learned God's purpose for his situation when he kept moving forward, when he kept trusting the Lord. Ultimately, that purpose popped up. You ain't going to understand it now that you're going through it, because all you're doing is feeling the pain. All you're doing is feeling like giving up. But if you keep on trusting the Lord, he'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. And Paul, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, but as a result, now this is God's purpose, we stopped relying on ourselves. That sounds like the process of brokenness right there. That sounds like God was stripping Paul of some pride. Because pride always says, I can do it. Pride always says, I know. You ever met somebody like that? I know. I can do it. Let me do it. That's what pride always says. And Paul says, he stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. When the Lord takes you through the breaking process, he is stripping you of self-reliance. He is stripping you of pride. God is trying to teach you to rely on him. And that hurts sometimes. That hurts sometimes. Listen to Psalms 34, verse 18. Psalms 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." He saves those that have a contrite spirit. He's near those who have a broken heart. You know what that word contrite refers to? That word contrite refers to the grinding something into powder. That word contrite refers to grinding something into powder. Sometimes God needs to grind pride out of our heart. Sometimes God needs to grind rebelliousness out of our heart. Sometimes God needs to grind stubbornness out of our heart, lust out of our heart. God has a way to bypass our body and go directly to our heart and grind them things that are blocking our blessing. Because oftentimes we are the main blockers to our blessing. And we have accumulated things in life. We picked up things in life that we allowed to creep in our heart. And we wonder why God is not blessing us. It's because we got some blockers in our heart that he needs to grind. Is this helping anybody here today? So God, through circumstances and situations, he grinds things out of our hearts. He grinds it. Maybe you're going through the grinder. I know you've never looked at God like this, but I want to suggest to you that God is the great grinder. He's the great grinder. You may think you're going through your situation for one reason, but if you keep trusting in God and keep obeying God, he will reveal to you the real reason. And even if it was the devil that tried to throw that situation, God has a way, throw it on you. God has a way to turn it around. And God has a way to redeem any situation. So my brothers and sisters, here's my exhortation to you this morning. Don't run from God in your brokenness. Run to God in your brokenness. That's what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah ran to the Lord. He went to the house of the Lord from a place of brokenness. And listen, God is trying to make you a better person. He's trying to make you a better person. Listen, the picture of the purpose of brokenness is found in the big, beautiful horse. Horses can be big and beautiful, or they can be wild and rebellious. They don't mind you leading them to get water. They don't mind you leading them to get food. But if they even think you're coming with a saddle on, they will kick and they will bite and they will buck because they don't want nobody riding their backs. They don't mind you providing for them. They don't mind you getting shelter for them when it's raining. But don't you get on their back. And the process of taming the horse is called the breaking process. And you have to break the horse in order to stop them from biting, stop them from bucking, stop them from kicking. I want to suggest to you that there's some people here that God is trying to tell you you're biting too much. You're kicking too much. You're not the only one. All of us kick at some times. This was the testimony of Apostle Paul when God was trying to get a hold of his life, when God was trying to run him down. God shows up to him, Jesus, in Acts chapter 9, and Jesus tells him, "Paul, why are you kicking against me? Why are you kicking against me?" You know what Jesus had to do? Jesus had to pick him up off his horse and body slam him on the ground. Jesus had to break him. Why? Because there was greatness inside of Apostle Paul that could not come out until he was broken. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Brokenness leads to blessing. Brokenness leads to blessing. The problem with our generation today is everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to be broken. Brokenness leads to blessing. Everybody wants to be blessed, but no one wants to be broken. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:11. Listen to this. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. That's the brokenness. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. That's the blessing. You see the relationship between brokenness and the blessing? You can't be blessed until you're broken. He says, yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. That's the brokenness, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. That's the blessing. My brothers and sisters, God will not bless you until he could break you. He will not bless you until he could break you. And again, the problem with our generation is we want to be blessed but not broken. We want to skip the breaking process. And let me tell you something. Whenever you think you got a blessing, but you have not been broken, that thing will turn into a curse. In fact, it's not a blessing. It's a Trojan horse in disguise. If because some of y'all are thinking, well, I'm already blessed. No. If whatever you think you got blessed with takes you away from God, takes you away from the house of the Lord, takes you away from serving the Lord, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. Because we learn to handle the blessings of the Lord through our brokenness. Through our brokenness. God won't bless anything that he doesn't break. So, why should he bless you to love him less? Why should he bless you to reject him more? Why should he bless us to leave him out the equation? See, some of us are here today and we're probably thinking, man, it's October already. How come I haven't been blessed? Where's my breakthrough at? It's October already. I want to suggest to you, maybe it's because you have not allowed God to break you. Maybe it's because you have not allowed God to break you. In my own particular testimony, my brothers and sisters, I must admit that the blessings I'm experiencing today have come from a result of my brokenness. People see my blessings today, but they don't recognize or they didn't see my brokenness of yesterday. And when I first started to serve the Lord gave me these dreams and visions of going home from prison and I was in prison serving a life sentence, and I began to get these dreams of going home. Like, I dreamed of being with my wife at church and worshiping the Lord. I dreamed of having a family. I dreamed of, like, preaching the gospel around the world. And I believed that I was going to go home one day, even though I was sentenced to life. And I remember when I first started serving the Lord, I was on fire for God. And somebody came to me, and they told me, you know what they told me? They said, Brian, God needs to break you before he blesses you. And in my ignorance, you know what I said? I said, no, that don't even make sense. I'm serving the Lord. I'm on his side. Why is he going to break me? That don't even make sense. And I rejected it. And I continue to serve the Lord. And I continue to have these dreams, you know, of going home. These dreams of serving the Lord. And then that message would come back to me again. Brian, before God blesses you, he needs to break you. And I remember I would say, no, he don't want to break me. He don't need to break me. Until it happened. As I was preparing for this message, the Lord reminded me of the day that I was broken. And I want to give you a window into my brokenness. I want to give you a window into my brokenness. I found it in my book, my autobiography. And I want to read this page to you. And it just reminded me how before God blessed me, he had to break me. Listen to what I wrote. And I was probably like 26 years old when I wrote this. Listen to this. My last parole reversal really knocked me down, spiritually and emotionally. I thought for sure I would be going home. I was confident God was going to answer my prayer, but he didn't. It was the first time I was ever really crushed since I started walking with God. I was used to God spoiling me, and now it felt like he was a million miles away. I walked around the prison yard confused. I laid on my bunk staring at the cement wall as I cried. I kneeled down in the chapel and cried some more. I started to doubt if it was God's will for me to go home. I wanted so bad to be mad at God. I wanted to scream at him, but honestly, I was too afraid of God to be mad at him because I didn't even deserve to live. Deep down inside, I knew it was only because of God's mercy I was still alive. A song by Jeannie Owens, which I'd never heard before, began to minister to my heart. Listen to the lyrics of this song. The pathway is broken and the signs are unclear, and I don't know the reasons why you brought me here. But just because you love me the way that you do, I'm gonna walk through the valley if you want me to. The lyrics awakened my soul. I had to make up my mind. It was time to lay down my dreams, time to abandon my aspirations at the foot of the cross. I shared my heart with my wife, and eventually I let go of holding on to going home. God, it doesn't matter to me anymore if I go home or die in this prison. I will continue to serve you no matter where I'm at. About a year after that level of brokenness is when God finally released me out of prison after 16 years. He had to break me before he blessed me. Maybe you're going through something today. Maybe you're stressed out today. Maybe you, like Apostle Paul, you don't believe like you're going to make it. You don't believe you're going to make it. You're ready to bail out. Maybe you're ready to bail out on your marriage. Maybe you're ready to bail out on your dreams. Maybe you're ready to bail out on your job, on your business. Maybe you're ready to bail out. Listen, I want to let you know, you cannot run from the process of brokenness. You can't run from it. You cannot run from it. You can't marry someone else. You can't get a new job. You can't find a new church because there's going to be people there just like there are people here. You're going to have to go through your process of brokenness and allow God to do what he wants to do in your life so that ultimately he can position you to blow your mind with his blessing. With his blessing. I want to ask that everybody bow your head. Everybody bow our head with our eyes closed. There's some people here that may have felt like giving up, and you don't understand why it's so hard. And all you could see is the surface reason for your situation. All you see is what's on the surface. Today, God wants you to trust him through the process. He wants you to trust him knowing that he's working out a greater good. That he is committing divine surgery in your heart. That there are some things in your heart that are blocking your blessing that he needs to grind out. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want us just to reflect upon the word. What was the Lord trying to tell you? If you're here this morning and you've been going through a rough time, you even felt like giving up, but today through the message, you want to commit to surrendering your aspirations. You want to commit to surrendering your dream and even your expectation. You want to commit it. You want to surrender it to the Lord. If this message resonated in your heart and you want to submit and surrender your dream to the Lord, I want you to just stand up right where you're at as an act of surrender. Anybody here who needs to surrender their situation to the Lord, just stand up right where you're at as an act of surrender, and I will pray with you. God is grinding some things out of your heart. He's grinding some things out of your heart. Anybody else, stand up right where you're at. If you're on the balcony and you want to surrender your situation to the Lord, stand up. Right now, those who stood up, between you and God in your own way, in your own words, I want you to surrender that dream, surrender that expectation, surrender that aspiration to the Lord. Just give it to Him, just like as I did in the book, just like as I did in the book. Just you and God, right where you're at, in your own words, surrender to the Lord. Take a moment to surrender to the Lord.